Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this evening for Wealth Creation and Preservation. Alhamdulillah, glad you are with us. We're going to address the theme of the angels as a resource for wealth creation tonight. And what we're going to do is, immediately following this introduction, we're going to play a short piece that's delivered from the Yaqeen Institute. And it is an address that speaks to, or under the title, The Truth About Angels. So we can get the aqidah, the teaching about angels from Al-Islam, and then we're going to address the dimension of wealth creation and how our belief in angels and the reality of angels bears on our ability to create wealth. So alhamdulillah, glad you're with us, and immediately following this, we're going to have my co-host, Kamila Mahasin Belali and Shuaib, to continue under the theme, The Angels as a Resource for Wealth Creation. Thank you and welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
When we're talking about the angels, the Prophet ﷺ was asked particularly on the night of Al-Isra wal Mi'raj. You know, there were some people that questioned that journey, how he made that journey. There are some people that just wanted to know what it was like. And a group of companions came to the Prophet ﷺ and they asked the Messenger ﷺ, what did it sound like? You know, what did you see and what did it sound like? I mean, as you're traveling through these galaxies with rapid speed, what is it that you heard out there? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Inni ara ma la taron." He says, "Look, I see things that you are incapable of seeing. Wa asma'u ma la tasma'un." And I hear things that you are incapable of hearing. He says, "Inna as-sama'a attat." Said the heavens are creaking. Attat means they are shaking violently. وَحُقَّ لَهَا أَنْ طَئِطْ. And there's a reason why the sound of it is like it's shaking violently. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, because there isn't a space of four fingers except that there's an angel that has been created in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is doing nothing but declaring His praises. So he described the sound of vibration. Okay, I want you just to listen quickly to what it sounds like in outer space. NASA actually had a recording from outer space they put up 16 years ago, right before the turn of the millennium. And the name of the research was, Our Universe is Not Silent. Because there was this idea that if you went out to outer space, you wouldn't hear anything except for the moving objects. Just listen to what it sounds like in outer space. That's good enough. You guys can't hear everything, but if you get a chance to listen to it, it's actually quite breathtaking. And actually, one of the researchers who published that research said that it sounds like a billion men doing Gregorian chants all simultaneously at the same time. Subhanallah. When I heard that, I remembered this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inni ara ma la tarun wa asma'u ma la tasma'un. Look, I see things that you don't see, and I hear things that you don't hear. And that's a sign of hope for us as well, because we're always paranoid about jinn being everywhere and shayateen being everywhere. The number of angels compared to the number of jinn is dramatically different. There's a huge difference between how many angels there are out there and how many jinn and devils there are out there. So this is a magnificent creation, the malaika. They, you know, belief in them is the second pillar of our faith. And subhanAllah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says the reason why it's the second pillar of our faith is because of Jibreel alayhi salam. Because the only reason, for example, we don't necessarily have, well, we have to believe in the jinn, but it's not necessarily a pillar of faith, right? Can you be a believer without believing in the jinn? No, you can't. It's in the Quran, Surah Al-Jinn. But it's not a separate category of the pillars of faith. The reason being that all of the pillars of faith have to do with the integrity of the message. And so the reason why a pillar of faith, there's a separate pillar of faith, of belief in the Malaika, is because of this angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, that brings the message to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it clarifies the integrity of the Messenger to the Messenger, which helps us fully appreciate this message as well. And obviously, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many things about these angels. And the thing is that it's in every culture and every theology, you have some form of belief in the angels, right? In Judeo-Christian thought, you have a belief in the angels as being a creation that, you know, can make mistakes. They've been reduced to fallibility. They can fall. So you have a concept of dark angels, Lucifer, the devil. And in fact, they don't actually separately believe in a category of jinn. They're simply demons and dark angels. So they do have that category. They do have that belief. And within Christianity, you'll find many different beliefs about who the specific angels are and what their roles are. So for example, in Mormonism, Gabriel is Nuh alayhi salam. He's actually Noah, right? So you'll find different beliefs as to who they are within Christianity and within Judaism. You'll find that in Judeo-Christian thought as well, the angels are created from fire, whereas the Prophet ﷺ told us they're created from what? From light. And that excludes all forms of impurity. And As-Suyuti rahimahullah says, Allah chose to create them from the most beautiful creation, which is light, because that is what He chose to create His hijab from, His veil. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah speaks from behind a veil of light. So it's the most beautiful creation, and it excludes all forms of impurity. And it's a testimony to their infallibility. Now, do they have physical presences as well? Do they have a physical presence, or are they just light? Right? They do have a physical presence. And they have a pretty dominating physical presence. Right? And, you know, a lot of times when you see portrayals of angels, because, again, you'll find them even in the thought of Confucius, there's a belief in angels. Even the pagans of Mecca believed in angels, but they called them what? Banatul Rahman, the daughters of the Most Merciful. So if you looked up a Wikipedia entry of Gabriel, for example, and you saw the portrayal, right, and you see the portrayal of most angels in drawings and in sculpture, you'll find that they look like babies in diapers. Right? They're very weak, small creatures. Right? Whereas the portrayal that we find in our religion is that this is a strong creation, a huge creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do as they are commanded, that exclude all forms of fault, all forms of flaw, all forms of impurity. Just as we testify that the messengers of God, all of them, Abraham, Noah, Jesus, Moses, David, peace be upon them all, just as we testify that they are all infallible, and that they do not commit those mistakes, the angels as well are completely infallible and do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything that's been given to them. As Allah tells us in the Quran, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. That they do not disobey a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do exactly as they are told. However, do they love certain things? Do they hate certain things? Do they have characters? Yes, they do. They're not robots, right? So you'll find numerous narrations which talk about what offends the angels and what causes them to come near. Arguments or debates amongst the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment. And Jibreel alayhi salam as well, having a character. Now what do they look like? All right. Allah tells us they do have wings, not those two little weak feathery wings that you see. They do have wings. Uli ajniha, masna wa thulatha wa ruba'a. Some of them have two wings. Some of them have three wings. Some of them have four wings. يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ. And Allah increases them as He wills. Now, that automatically tells us that they're of different sizes. But what would an average angel look like? Just an average malak. Alright? To give you an idea of just an average angel, Safwan ibn Sulaym, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that مَا صَلَّى أَحَدْ. No one enters into his salah. This is just you praying in your room, thinking that no one's around you, thinking that you're all alone. إِلَّا صَلَّى وَرَاءَهُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَمْثَالُ الْجِبَالِ. Except that there are angels the size of mountains that are praying there with you. You think you're in your room all by yourself. You've got angels, creatures the size of mountains that are there praying with you, that are there glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. All right, what about an angel that has a bigger task then? An angel that belongs to a more elite group of angels. How about Hamalat al-Arsh, the bearers of the throne, right? We mentioned them in our supplications. Allahumma inni asbahtu ushiduk wa ushidu Hamalat al-Arshik, You know, we call them to bear witness at times. Allah praises this group of angels. What do they look like? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I've been given permission to tell you about just one of those angels, one of the angels who bears the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنَّمَا بَيْنَ شَحْمَةِ أُذُنِهِ إِلَىٰ عَاتِقِهِ مَسِيرَةُ 700 عَامٍ. Said the distance between his earlobe and his shoulder is a journey of 700 years. That's just from here to here. And the narration of Ibn Khuzaymah, the Prophet ﷺ said, a bird could fly that journey in 700 years. So it's not just you walking and taking breaks. If a bird just was flying continuously for 700 years, he'd only make it from here to here on one of those angels. So how do we even determine who's a bigger angel and who's a smaller angel? And what does this have to do with Jibreel alayhi salam? Al-Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah says, the greater the task the angel has been given, the greater the size of the angel. So that tells you right away that Jibreel alayhi salam is even bigger than that. He's the biggest of the angels and the greatest in size because he has the greatest of tasks.
In such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success, living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I've run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind, oh, nothing's ever gonna stop me. This life is nothing but a test, and I'm aiming for. And there's just no limit to all the great things I can do. I see my possibility. Just woke up and found it here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me. I'm looking for the drama track. Sit ahead, I won't look back over my mind. I hold the vision of my destiny. And it keeps me, I will strive. Because I know what's inside me, it's so much more than I can see, it's so much that I can become, that's why I'm reaching for the sun. I see my possibility, just woke up and found him here in me, nothing but green lights ahead of me, I'm looking for the dollar track.
الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, I'm good today. You know, I think the day went by really fast for me. I'm good today.
Excellent. You got that green memo. Hello.
I know, right? Beautiful. I love when those moments happen.
Actually, I was looking at you before I actually quote unquote brought you into the studio, right? And mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, I see the green head wrap. I said, she got the green memo. Then you went up, got up, and put the scarf on with it. Said, yeah, this is one of the green days. Hello, Hello,
Eggball.
That's good. You're looking beautiful, sweetie. It's good.
It makes me feel good about even within the subject, you know?
Yeah.
Like how we receive our messaging and connect and on a level that is beyond words, you know? So
Praise
I love God. Moments like that. Alhamdulillah.
It's wonderful. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over, and we're going to keep rocking, all right?
Yeah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I am beaming because I'm full from what we listened to, the audio we listened to earlier, and just the subject matter. The topic is the angels as a resource. And when I, you know, this is always something that I always continuously revisit as an idea when we start to talk about how we navigate this earthside experience and how, you know, it's always a part of that journey of really recognizing how at the root of everything we do, there's gratitude. There's a sense of being grateful and thanking Allah through all of it, in the struggles, in the celebration, you know, in those hard times, we just all of the things, all of the moments that we have in life that are symptoms of a thing that needs work, that needs healing, that needs attention, or the symptoms of the work that confirms that, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the direction that you're supposed to go in. And it's just beautiful because that video, I usually, and this is why it's like Allah is so masterful, right? My dad usually sends me the audio before we get started. So I have an opportunity to take it in and digest it. But my belief is that I had to experience it on this call so that you can see and feel the intensity of why I'm so passionate about this subject and why I am so grateful for this way of life, right? Because sometimes we make things harder than it needs to be. And when Allah says that this way of life is easy, like Islam is not difficult, it's not calculus, you know, like when I think about, okay, for some people calculus is easy, but Camila, no, calculus is not easy, right? It's easy, this way of life, right? If you ask the question, if you honor the faculties that Allah has given you and say, yes, ask, yes, choose, yes, the uniqueness in your form and shape and how you approach this world is all for your good, right? And being, you know, the language is children of Adam, that this understanding that, you know, you get what your parents give you, right? And so as that, we have come here with an understanding and the knowledge of the nature of all things, right? And we come here Muslim. We come here in full submission to what it is that God wants for us. We come here in some, and it is the environment or our parents or society that make us otherwise, right? And these things about, you know, when we realign ourselves, and if you were with us last week, you understand what that means, that when we realign ourselves with the origin of who we are, the puzzle pieces fall into place. You know, the code is broken, right? The matrix, you see the numbers, you get it. It's like, oh, okay, this goes with that. Because now you are remembering, right? And we said that our father Adam fell because he forgot. And the forgetting is in you know, the abundance of what it is that Allah has given us, the how massive the life that we can live and have the capacity to live if we remember all of the things that we came here with. So this resource, the angels as a resource, is really a large part of the what I call, for Kamila, what I call the listening. So I need to say this sidebar. You know, every one of us, you know, I'm grateful for the community that I come from, that I don't have to feel ashamed of my language, my Kamila's language, if it is in alignment with this way of life that helps me to understand how to navigate this experience. And I call this experience life, right? Because it is an experience. Doesn't last forever. It's an experience. And, you know, so my language is listening, right? So there's reading and there's listening, because I was always curious about the idea of when we make salat out loud and when we, you know, make a lot, us a lot in silence. And I remember seeing the man talk about the salat in silence is not with, because that's still out loud. The silence is you're not, like, that's not what's happening. Like, the silence is this vessel is not what is making the salat, but it is silent. And it's the internal conversation. And it's like, I mean, do you feel how wonderful that is? Like, to that you're still reciting, even though the physical mouth isn't moving, right? Even though the voice isn't being heard, you still hear it, right? And this is the same thing that happens in our regular day-to-day life. So we just had this experience about the green, right? You know, if you're getting dressed, you're not walking around. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I walk around and talk out loud, and I do it regularly. I feel good about it. But then there's sometimes when you're in the home and it is, you know, says, you know, get this cup or do that. And I can hear that. This is Kamila. I don't know how unique other people are, but Kamila has, I have sharpened my listening skills, right? My internal listening skills. And it also comes up when I'm having a conversation with someone, and that internal conversation may say, ask about X, or, you know, what's going on with that. Or, you know what, you think about someone and it's like, you know, you should check on so-and-so. And then you happen to check on them and they say, I was just thinking about you, right? And these are those moments that the cellular, what I call the real cells as in body, cell phone, right, that we connected in that way. So this idea of the angels being here of service, when I travel, I always make dua on the plane or the vehicle or what have you, and I ask Allah to, you know, because the imam speaks of that air is an angel, electricity is an angel, fire is an angel, meaning the energy of these things are here to serve, you know, and how it is that you do what it is that you do. And so this idea of you have a goal, or you want to understand a thing, or you need some healing, like you want to work out something that is troubling you, that the resources will come to you because you are moving fi sabilillah. You are moving based on what Allah has inspired you for your highest good. I don't really give much space to the negativity around, you know, the jinn and this idea of demons. I'm not saying that I don't believe they exist or anything else, but you can tell when there are certain parts of yourself that is encouraging you to do a thing that you know is not for your highest good. It's not for your benefit. It is not what it is that Allah wants for you. So you make decisions, and there's a goal. So I'm going back to there's a goal that you want to reach. And in you seeking to reach this goal, you check yourself to see, okay, is this for my highest good and would Allah be pleased? And am I doing this as a service to humanity, or service to those that I love? And am I not trying to do this out of, is it not an ego-driven journey? These are questions that I ask myself. And so I ask Allah to make it easy for me. And if it is not for me, remove it, you know, make it so clear, make it as clear as the nose on my face that I should not do it, that I cannot have it, you know, block all roads to it, keep me away from it, right? And so when I get the go, it's like, okay, go. But every time when you set forward for this goal or blessing, the tests show up to ensure that you are doing it for the right reason. So you're seeking to start a business. Like, I want to start a business. So are you starting a business to flex on people, to say, yeah, I got the big car, I got this, I got that. And so these things that when it comes up for you, you have to take that moment, and you'll be tested with that until you come back to the realization of, no, I'm doing this for Allah. Allah inspired me with this, and so I have every duty to give it back in order for me to get the richness that comes out of it. You know, the story of Abraham, you know, it's like he wanted a son, right? And then he gets his son, and then he's asked to sacrifice the son. Like, we are tested with the things that we want most, that we claim to love most, and we have to be clear that thing should never, you know, supersede or be above our love for Allah, our love for God. It should never be more than that. We put it in its place. We put it in its proper space within our lives, right? And so he was challenged with the decision to have to do this. And then Allah, when he was ready, you know, I mean, of course there's human resistance. Why wouldn't there be, right? But he knew that Allah is not going to ask me to do a thing that is not for the good, right? And so this movement to do so, it's like, okay, instead of doing that, this is what I need for you to do. So this happens with our goals. This happens. This happens with our daily journey. So I know what happened with my throat. Maybe that's where I'm supposed to stop for the moment. So, Dad, amen. Because I think I need a moment so my throat got a little parched. So go ahead and jump in. Let me get some water.
I'm blocking. Alhamdulillah. I'll mention one thing in conjunction with Abdul Shaheed mentioned here, that on the silent prayer being inside, it's great for me to connect with. She's so correct. Alhamdulillah. There's another quote-unquote tip. When you make the adhan, in actuality, your fingers should actually be inside your earlobes, not your earlobes, your ear sockets, right? And when you make the adhan, by bone conduction, you will also hear it like an amplification inside of your head while you are projecting it out there, because the call is not just out there. The call is also inside. And we know that, and the louder the call is given, the further you move shaitan away, right? So, alhamdulillah, yeah, so that entire call. You ready to rock?
Yeah. Yeah, I am, right. And I know we're close to closing out what I had to share, but yes, I'm back.
Okay.
So there's always these moments, and, you know, in every moment I have to take the moment to pay attention to the signs of things, right? So my throat contracted, and you know, I know that that's a sign for me, because I know that when I speak, I have to consume enough water. I have to stay hydrated. So I didn't drink that much water today, and I went to the gym earlier, and I should have drunk more water. And so this part of our vessel, when there is something that is missing, our body will remind us, hey, you need this, you need that, right? And this is also with life. We will be in the midst of doing stuff, and something will come up. I'm going to use the cat as an example. You know, I'll be in the midst of doing things, and we're paying bills, we're doing that. And then all of a sudden, you start to feel like my money is contracting, right? Just like my throat contracting. And I'm like, what? What's going on? Like, I budgeted. I knew this was right. This thing popped up there. And then the ding-ding-ding goes off and said, ma'am, have you paid the cat? Have you purified this gift that you have been given? And that in itself, you know, we're talking about the angels send you the signs to read, look this way, look that way, this is what you do. This, and then, and I'm hoping that you may speak some more about that the angels will congregate, and that your name will be mentioned in an even larger audience, right? That when we move with this roof, with this breath that Allah blessed us with when we came here, that is the signal. That's the bat signal for the angels to be like, yeah, we recognize that. We bow to that. Okay, what you want? But if you're not moving with the spirit in which Allah has breathed into you, and you're moving with the spirit of, I don't know, Oprah, or moving with the spirit of whomever else that's popular in the world or whatever, in one way, the angels are not going to recognize that to show up to bow to the needs of what you need, the resources that you need to have access to reach your destiny. So we always want to remind ourselves that with the words that we speak, that with the, you know, with the understanding of this beautiful divine book, that we are reminded, and that we always have that signal going out, that the angels go, oh, okay, yeah, that's one of ours. What are they asking for? Let's do that, you know. And that within that, we find ways to experience this life on a whole nother level that is not just basic, I'm alive, but to genuinely be living and to really experience the beauty of what this life, this garden of this life can look like if we choose to be good listeners and to be someone that is present in reading the signs that are brought to us, to know when we're being squeezed, to bring us to another level, when we're being squeezed, to reveal something within ourselves and our lives that will enhance this life experience, that those are all opportunities that Allah gives us on a daily basis, all the time, every day. But what is required of us is to submit to that which Allah has given to us, so that they can find us to give us those things that we ask for. So with that, I'm going to call the man back in, and I thank you all for your time and your patience in that moment, but we're here. We still live. We still in motion, right? So, I'm doing that.
Alhamdulillah, sweetie. Alhamdulillah, very good. Y'all have to excuse me. You know, call it the sweetie. It's just, hey, that's my baby girl. So that's what happens. I still ain't lied to you. Alhamdulillah. Look. Any comments, questions? Thank you so much. You alhamdulillah. Any comments, questions, feedback from anyone on Blog Talk? We'll give you a quick shout. You know, this broadcast now on Mondays, we're only here for the hour, and we are creating after this hour the follow-up check-in that we are posting up on the Institute site. So the extension of the conversation is happening on the post-up after after this after this presentation. I just need to go ahead and share one screen. So I'm about to check out of this right now, so I won't be looking at anything on the on any of the switchboards or anything like. We're going to go ahead and share this and get through our brief portion of today. Alhamdulillah. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Austin. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So let's go now with this to speak to as much as we can get to in the time remaining today. Let me get this straight here. All right. So we're talking about the angels as a resource for creating wealth. The word that I want to get clear out there is the word that is at its roots are the letters Mim, Lam, Kaf. Mim, Lam, Kaf. This is the 35th ayah, the Arabic there, the 35th ayah of Surah Al-Sa'd, 38. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qala Rabbi ghafirli وَحَبْلِ مُلْكٍ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah. This is Suleiman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prophet. And he's asking, he said, my Lord, forgive me and bestow upon me mulkin. The translator originally had in it, kingdom. This will bestow upon me a kingdom, mulkan, such as shall not belong to any other after me. Verily, you are the bestower. Now, the other details that are involved in the verses that come after this, it's not likely that we'll get into or make it into them in the second portion, but let me just read them to add them to the record. 36, an expression of it is, so we subjected to him the wind. So what's the big key there? This soul. So he asked for that. It's a given that Allah has granted it. And so the next verse begins, soul. All right? That is in accommodating that, in order to accommodate that, in order to get that going, huh? We subjected to him the wind, it blew gently to his order, whithersoever he willed. So rich. And also the shayateen, that's plural for Satan's, okay? From the jinn. And that also tells you also where do they come from? They come from the jinns. All right? Even though all jinns are not shayateen. In any case, and also the shayateen from the jinns, every kind of builder, what are they building? And diver. And also others bound in fetters, saying of Allah to Suleiman, this is our gift. So spend you or withhold. No account will be asked. God created one. Oh, pardon me. This is okay. This is something else. Yes, yes. That's actually my note. This gets getting mixed in there. Alhamdulillah. So don't worry about that. We'll, inshallah, we'll get to that later. The only thing that I want to speak to and point to is this first part, mulkin. So let's continue to follow that. This is Surah 75 of, pardon me, Ayah 75 of Surah 6. It's the one about Abraham's star moon son, the one that starts
the revelation about Abraham and the star, moon, sun, you all know. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكذلك نري إبراهيم ملكوت السماوات والأرض وليكون من الموقنين. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this is, so also did we show Abraham the powers and the laws. So when he says, ملكوت السماوات والأرض, that is the powers and the laws of the skies and the earth, that he might with understanding have certitude. This is what Allah gave him. You see what in the verse that we read about Suleiman. Suleiman wanted X, Y, and Z, and God says, so we subjected to him the wind. They blew gently to his order, whithersoever he willed, and then the shayateen and the jinn, etc. This is what God said. He did this for him in response to his request. Abraham was also seeking. And so Allah is saying, what we did for him is that we showed him the powers and the laws of the heavens and earth. But the main thing for us tonight is connecting with that Mim Lam Kaf, connecting it with Malakut As-Samawati Wal Ard. Those are the powers and the laws. And then in verse 43 and verse 56 of Surah 33, I believe that's Surah Al-Azab, and Allah says, he it is who sends down blessing upon you, as do his angels. Now, here's a point to grasp. The angels send blessings also. He it is who sends blessings on you, as do his angels. Right? And that he may bring you out from the depths of darkness into light. And he is full of mercy to the believers. Surah 33, ayah 56. Allah and his angels send blessings on the prophet. O you who believe, send you blessings on him and salute him with all respect. Right? So that makes you a blessing sender too. Who you think can give the biggest blessing? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But you can bless, though. You can bless. The etymology of Malik, and Malik. Malik, Malik, and Malik. The term Malik means owner. It follows the form of Fa'il. The form of Fa'il is the doer, of the one who actually does it, right? Does whatever the root is speaking of. And in this case, it's talking about ownership. So Malik literally means the owner, is an adjective of a doer or an agent. And Malik, short A, Malik is ruler or master. It's also an adjective and the term Malik, so the eek is long, whereas Malik, 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 so you can see the vowels getting longer, meaning stretching at the beginning, Malik, then short, Malik, and then long at the end, Malik, okay? And that Malik means possessor, is an attribute showing possession of something with greater emphasis and exaggeration. Of course, all three words are derived from the root word mulk, which signifies having power to do things and to having things under one's own discretion and exclusive possession. All right, so it's talking about ownership, possession, power over things, okay? All right, varying degrees in various states relative to that. So it's talking about possession, ownership,
All right? When it comes to the differences between these three words, some exegetes, those people who are scientists of words, some exegetes, but more particularly those who derive meaning from literature, let's say, and scripture in particular, some exegetes have said, since over time, the words melek and melek have been used to refer to king and ruler, they have considered malik to be possessor of some objective things, that is, possession of some objective things, whereas melek and melek are used to refer to someone who contrives and plans. Okay. So there is a clear and direct connection between Allah, his attribute, Malikul Mulk, Malikul Mulk, where we have Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and it goes on, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin. He's the owner, the master of the day, some say, religion, the day of judgment. That day, the day that it's speaking of, that day belongs to him. Malikul Mulk, Malikul Mulk, is the owner of all things that are owned. In some translations, that the king of kings, right? But he's the owner of all owners. Whoever owns anything, Allah owns them. Allah owns them. Malikul Mulk, right? So there's Allah. You have Malik connected with him, and just focus on just the attribute, Malikul Mulk. So that's one. There's Allah. I want you to see a stratification. There's Allah, and then there's the powers and the laws of creation, as you saw in the 75th verse of the 6th surah of the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, Malikut as-samawati wal-ard. That is the powers and the laws of creation. That's where you just take Malikut, just take that, or Malikut, because it's as-samawati, the skies. So it's just Malikut. Malikut is the powers of the laws of creation. All right? So that's something that already, that is present. That's another thing. When we talk about the skies and the earth, that's something. But the skies and the earth have powers and laws. The skies and the earth has powers and laws. And so that, so you still have the same lettering, Malikutus, Malikutus. Then you have the angels, El Malaik, El Malaik, right? Linguistically, angel literally means to assist and to help. Literally, linguistically, it means to assist. So what do angels do? They assist and they help. They assist and they help. How do they assist and how they help? Camila mentioned that if you want the angels' help, you have to obey Allah. you obey Allah and the angels obey Allah. So you obey Allah and the angels in obedience to Allah. They give you what Allah promised to you, and they help you as Allah's promise is that he would give you help. And there are many, many places in the Quran. Battle of Badr comes right away, or Hud comes right away. But I'm very pressed with the fact of, don't just think Allah's help comes when you're in a war, and that's not the message. Think about the many other ways and times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent angels to assist his believing population, to protect his believing population, to guide his believing population. Alhamdulillah. So the angels do that. So the angels represent those powers and laws of creation that help the human being, al-malaik. And then your money. So it is direct. Malikun, Malikuna. I put the Google Translate there for you. You look it up. You go to, and it said, when you say wealth, amwal, you'll have your wealth. Amwalikum, your wealth, and that's plural. When you say your money, malik. So the calf, as you know, and if you don't know, I'm gonna tell you. The calf, of course, is an attached pronoun. It's an attached pronoun. So in the most formal sense, mal is the quote-unquote wealth, right? Malik, the only way you can say your money, you have to say malik. You have to say malik. I mean, there are other ways, of course, to say your money, but I'm saying in this connection, the idea is that So see, as a student of Imam Wadi Imam, we would there's no way for us to walk past that. No, it's not that, because calf is an attached pronoun, so it's not really saying that. Say, okay, go on with yourself. If you're forced to include all of the roots for that, and it comes out the same way, that's the guidance of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala telling you, listen. Through Allah and the powers of the laws of creation and the help of the angels, you will get your money. You will get your money, right? Good. That's the blessing. Yeah, and I can put it just like that because, you know, Allah loves Bilalians for sure. Allah loves Bilalians. And alhamdulillah, so you can get your money. Malikun, alhamdulillah. Here's how do you get Allah's help, and there are many ways. Alhamdulillah, one of the reports that you see right there, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said every morning two angels come down from heaven. One says, "O Allah, reward those who give in your cause." While the other says, "O Allah, uproot every miser who withholds." Remember and that was Sheikh Omar Suleiman with the Yaqeen Institute that we listened to in the first 10 minutes. Pardon me, but he talked about how when you go to make salah, you're not praying alone, even though there's nobody in the room with you. There's angels as big as mountains making salat with you. Can you see that movie? Can you see that movie? Every time you are making salat, there's an angel as big as a mountain making salat with you. Allahu Akbar. So it's like, how can you not feel strong and know that? And believe that and accept that. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All right. Here's a hadith. Speaking of the angels' help. You want the angels' help? You have to quote unquote, I'll put it this way, you have to quote unquote get into Allah's good graces. Okay? And Allah's most merciful, and He gives us more than any of us could possibly deserve. Everything is a grace. Everything is a mercy. But He gives us the opportunity to earn more. All right? Here's a report. It says, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, if Allah has loved a servant of His, He calls Jibril, the biggest of them, right, on whom be peace, and he says, I, that is God talking to Jibril, I love so-and-so, therefore love him. He, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the angel Jibril then loves him. And then the angel Jibril goes out into the heavens and says, Allah loves so-and-so, and therefore love for him, and therefore love him, and the inhabitants of heaven love him. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, then acceptance is established for him on the earth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So when you see somebody being loved on earth, he was loved, we can say, in heaven first. Allah loved him, and then Jibril loved him because Allah loved him, and then the angels loved him because Jibril loved him because Allah loved him and her. Okay. And then they get showered with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. But the reverse is also true. And if Allah hates a servant, abhors a servant of his, he calls Jibril and says, I abhor so-and-so. Therefore, abhor him. So Jibril abhors him. Then Jibril calls out to the heavens, to the inhabitants of the heavens, and Allah abhors, says, Allah abhors so-and-so. Therefore, abhor him. He, the prophet, peace be upon him, said, so they abhor him. And then abhorrence is established for him on earth. I know you can think of many of those personalities that have passed through human existence, and they are still abhorred on the earth to this day. Okay? Why? Because they were on the wrong side of Allah's will for humanity. The help of Allah through the angels, another report, helps us understand how we get that help, right? While a person was in the wilderness, he heard a voice from the cloud commanding it thus, a voice telling the cloud, irrigate the garden of so-and-so. After that, the cloud slinked aside and poured water on a stony ground. It filled a channel amongst the channels of that land, and that person followed that water, and he found a person standing in the garden, busy in changing the course of water with the help of a hatchet. He said to him, servant of Allah, what is your name? He said, so-and-so. And it was the very name that he had heard in the clouds. And he said to him, servant of Allah, why do you ask me my name? He said, I heard a voice from the clouds of which I heard a voice from the clouds of which is the downpour saying, water the garden of so-and-so, like your name. What do you do for the favor shown to you by Allah in this matter? He said, now that you ask, state so, I look at what yield I get from it, meaning the garden, and I give one-third as a charity out of it, and I give my children to eat one-third of it. I and my children eat one-third of it. And one-third I return to it as an investment. So that's a strategy. We spoke about this on the Jummah last. So this is the help of Allah. This is the help of Allah coming through the agencies of creation to facilitate the good of us right here on earth. And it always works like that. It doesn't just work for if you have a literal garden or a farm or so. It's everything. It's whatever it is that you're working on that is designed to improve your life, your family's life, and to be a way of contributing to the plan of God for humanity on earth. That's what we are to be doing. Then also, the angels, you'll remember from this story of the prophet after the Ta'if, after he was stoned in Ta'if. And I want to read this report also. Aisha reported, she asked the prophet, have you encountered a day harder than the Battle of Uhud? I think the prophet got a tooth knocked out. He got injured in a serious way on Uhud. So she asked, was there any day worse than that? The prophet, peace be upon him, he said, your tribes have troubled me very much. And the worst was the day of Aqaba, when I presented myself to Ibn Abdul Yalail, Ibn Abdul Qulal, and he did not respond to what I intended. I departed overwhelmed with excessive sorrow, and I could not relax until I found myself at a tree where I lifted my head toward the sky to see a cloud shading me. I looked up and I saw Jibril in it. He called to me saying, Allah has heard your people saying to you and how they have replied, and Allah has sent the angel of the mountains to you that you may order him to do whatever you wish to these people. the angel of the mountains greeted me, and he said, "Oh, Muhammad, order what you wish, and if you like, I will let the mountains fall on them." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "No. Rather, I hope that Allah will bring from their descendants a people who will worship Allah alone without associating partners with him." So if you want to see Sadaqa Rasulullah, so if you want to see an example of mercy, that's mercy. You can only show mercy when you have the power to do otherwise. You can't say someone is merciful and they never had the power over the people that they're supposed to be having mercy upon, mercy towards. No, it's when you don't exert justified harm on an individual, et cetera, and you don't do it, then that's mercy. But if you don't do it because you don't have the power to do it, that's not mercy. That's just weakness. So, mashallah. So, alhamdulillah. So, this is the way that we get the help of the angels. We get the help of the angels when we come into form in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us. When we come into form in the way that Allah has ordered for us, then inshallah, then we will, let me take that out. Yes, then we will get the grace and the benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, we're about to check out, and we will receive any feedback, question, comment that you might want to bring before we leave. Blog Talk, push one on your phone if you have comment. I can see some of the text there. Camila, you got comments that you want to share before we check out of this side of the conversation?
No, but I think that this is such a much more extensive conversation, because I remember contacting you some time back about looking for books about the angels, right? Like to really understand the angels. That's what she's at. Oh, my way is going today.
In particular, books that I've been studying for creating wealth and more with the angels. I look up something for you, and I'll hit you with some comments in reply to your statement.
Yeah.
I have to say, Sister Austin, since I see a picture, and I don't see the first name, but we'll go with that. It's all good. So yes, we'll search that out for you in response to that. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother James. Alhamdulillah. Anything else from you before we go?
Nothing in particular, but I think that you have given us through the slides some resources for us to take those tools and build our own library of understanding just from those ayahs, because as we know, we take one ayah and it'll unfold into a whole, chapter of many other things. So those are great starting points for us as students to take those and move with those.
Alhamdulillah, we'll do. All right, everybody. Allah's peace be on you. Have a wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.